Welcome to His Ability, a show that speaks out to the handicapped community. Your host is the owner of a Utile Home Care Plus. And now, here's your host, Lynn Suzak.
Hi, I'm your host, Lynn Suzak. This is His Ability. We reach out to the handicapped community. I have a home health care company in Garden City, and we're doing a show that reaches out to people who are disabled, caregivers. We like to talk about subjects of many different kinds, healing. We've even gone into politics. Lord's been putting people into my path, and we continue with subject after subject that would be of interest to anybody in the disabled arena and the community. So I myself am in a wheelchair right now, but I'm on a pathway and a journey towards healing. And but today I'm going to cover, we have with us again, I'm privileged to have with me Larry Mall. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Lynn.
Thanks for joining me again. We've had you on before a couple months ago.
Yes, we did.
And what you have is a book that you've written called The Beaten Path, and this book covers addictions, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and the reason that I find this it's pertinent to my audience is because many people that are disabled or injured may be in pain, and one of the things that you cover in your book has to do with addictions to actual prescription medication, am I correct?
That's correct.
You do have that. Now, your background again, can you re-clarify where you've come from? You had experienced addictions yourself, mm-hmm. and also you went through some kind of your counseling. You do counseling as well, or can you refamiliarize us with your credentials?
Yes, back in 1984, my addictions to or mostly substances, alcohol and some other drugs, mm-hmm. Led to what they call hitting a bottom, mm-hmm. where you basically reach a point in your life where the pain is so great that you have to reconsider what you're doing and whether there are other options of recovery. And so I was sitting in jail, and I invited the pastor in, or the chaplain in, and turned my life over to Jesus Christ at that point, and ended up, fortunately, by the grace of God, had an opportunity to go through a long-term treatment center. You know, mm-hmm. The court systems stipulated that as part of my probation. So that was in 1985 to 1987. I went through 2.5 years of residential treatment.
And that helped? Did that help?
Oh, yeah. Okay. It saved my life. When I went there, I didn't think I really needed it. I thought, well, I can just put this aside.
Was this a Christian-type experience, or what kind of recovery was it?
Well, it was secular. It's secular-based, but they supported any direction that you wanted to go in that you felt would be helpful to you.
Right.
And
were you saved at the time?
I was newly saved.
Newly saved.
And so, you know, I was a little sketchy as to exactly... Mm-hmm. How to walk with the Lord, but I knew that I wanted to, I needed to, and so I combined everything they had to teach me, and mm-hmm. of course went to church and prayed and sought God and sought the Lord and combined that and continued to after I left treatment in 1987.
Okay.
And then 2 years later, it's funny, I wasn't planning on going to work for the treatment centers. A lot of my friends went to work at that treatment center after we graduated, but I went in to work for sales, and the Lord took my job away from me. Mm-hmm. They went out of business, mm-hmm. and the treatment center I was working for asked me if I'd come to work for them, and so I did. And going to work for them was the greatest thing I ever did,
mm-hmm.
and that really helped me a lot. I worked there for 16 years until 2005.
Great. Okay. Wow. So, what brought you to the point where you were able to have so much information that you could write this book and offer the help to others? How did you gather this information? Just from personal experience?
Yeah, just well, you know, throughout the years working in the field and being in treatment, you attend a lot of groups, and I've taught a lot of groups and met with a lot of families and met with a lot of individuals, and
mm-hmm.
and so you had a lot of time to go over this, and I decided that when I came up here to Michigan from Florida, that it was a good time to write a book.
Right. And again, we're talking about The Beaten Path by Larry Mall. And Larry, where do we find this? How can people order this book?
On my website, which would be www.larrymaule.com. LarryMaule.
LarryMaule.com.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
right.
Then we can order it from there. Great. Okay, Larry, what we're going to do is connect this with, I know last time we talked a little bit about some of the things that people, well, I know myself, I had dealt with my ex-husband who was an alcoholic for years, and I know how damaging that was to the family, and I didn't know how to deal with it. So you do have something in there for family members and how to bring themselves or understand the person that they're dealing with.
Absolutely.
And then we also had, today we're just going to talk a little bit about, I know that in the arena, the handicapped community, that people do struggle with pain, and they can mm-hmm. end up on medication that is helping them with their pain, but then they can become addicted to it. Can you explain how that may happen to somebody accidentally or on purpose?
Well, when people have, you know, there's a lot of ways that people become addicted to pain medication. I mean, if somebody had an injury and of course they're under a lot of pain, and some of it may be short-term, long-term pain. And so a lot of times what are prescribed are opioid mm-hmm, medications, mm-hmm. Painkillers. And those, of course, over time can be, you know, you become physiologically dependent upon those drugs. But mm-hmm. some people have a different reaction. They experience an addictive type of response. You know, they an extreme euphoria, a sense of calm, a peace. An energy that other people don't experience.
Like, really?
I mean, some people, even myself, a recovering person, I had to take some opioid medication for a tooth condition that I had, and I didn't like it. It made me feel real drowsy mm-hmm. and kind of, I couldn't think very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
But some people, people that I've known that have used painkillers, when they use it for the first time, they experience a whole different reaction. Mm. A lot of energy, even a clarity of mind, feeling a euphoria, calmness. And so they end up using it for other reasons other than just killing the pain.
Mm-hmm. Why is it that different people react different ways?
It's hard to tell. I don't know if there's anybody who really knows the answer to that for sure.
Really? Yeah, I've noticed that I'm talking to some people that they get high, some people enjoy the feeling, and other people get paranoid, and you don't know why, you know.
Right. I get so paranoid when I use it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think clearly.
Right.
And other people think
and
extremely
that's,
clear.
That's good for you, because you didn't, in that case, you wouldn't want to be continuing to take something that you're paranoid with, right?
No.
Right.
No, so I didn't take anymore.
So that kind of thing you didn't fall into, but something else that worked, you know, gave you a euphoria, you were more attracted to, correct?
That's correct, right.
So, well, that's always interesting. So in your book, how do you, what kind of suggestions can you give people about how to get away from, you know, you're addicted, or at least your family's telling you you're addicted to medications, and how, if you're in pain, what are you supposed to do?
Well, that's a really tough thing. I think that's tough for the doctors too,
mm-hmm.
you know. Usually what happens, I mean, I've worked with a lot of prescription addicts throughout mm-hmm. the years, and there's people who are addicted to prescription medications tend to minimize it or justify it or rationalize it away, saying this is just prescription medication,
mm-hmm.
particularly since they have a condition that justifies the use of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really easy for them to say, well, you know, I'm using a couple extra here and there, and they can hide it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And they can even hide it from their doctor.
Or themselves.
And themselves.
Right,
denial.
I believe.
Sure, denial is a major part of addiction. I mean, we just, especially when somebody has a euphoric response to it, and they really get additional responses other than just killing the pain, that it's taking care of their emotional issues. There may be their depression, their anxiety, their fears.
Right.
And so they're finding additional comfort in the medication. So over time, it becomes harder and harder for them to admit that, geez, I may have to stop this medication or do something about it. Because
mm-hmm.
what exactly the opposite is happening, they end up using more and more and more, and they become, comes to a place in their life where they start to become dependent, which
mm-hmm.
means that they feel as though they
can't live without it.
They can't live without it. It's necessary,
mm-hmm.
you know. And of course, at that time, they're denial starts playing a part. You know, they start pushing it aside, the thoughts that maybe, you know, there's something wrong. Their doctors may even mention something. Their families may start mentioning something, you know, like, you went through that whole medication,
right,
that whole prescription so quickly. Well, I lost part of it, or somebody
right.
took it. Or
okay, so lying is involved now.
Yes, lying, hiding.
Mm-hmm.
Then they may start doctor shopping, going to a couple of doctors
mm-hmm.
to get additional medication. And
right, to change so the next person's not quite aware of what they're doing, right?
Yeah, they're you know,
new doctor, maybe it'll take him a long time to figure out that I'm addicted to it, or
well, they
give me a hard time.
They're just trying to get more medication, and so they'll do whatever they can to get it. So over time, what happens is these things progress kind of slowly, maybe over years. But I can say when they come in treatment, these type of prescription opiate addicts, you have to break through that denial, you know. And of course, then you have to deal with the pain issues afterwards if it's a long-term pain issue.
Oh.
If the individual has a medical condition that
right.
requires treating that pain, then you have to work closely with the doctor to find alternatives,
okay.
alternative medications, alternative treatments and therapies that can help that individual to go on without having to take medication on a long-term basis. I don't think most of these medications opioid medications are meant to be taken for a long, long time, like years. I don't think,
mm-hmm.
I think they're supposed to be kind of a short term, months or to a year or so, and then decrease the use and find alternative treatments.
So you got to realize that you're not going to be able to take this forever, so what am I going to do? So what's the first step what somebody could take to start moving towards getting away from this addiction that they may have?
Well, once they realize they if they admit they have it, then they have to call a treatment center
okay.
and can talk to their doctor.
And do you have suggestions in your book, or how do we find a treatment center?
Well, there's a lot of them around. You know, there's in Michigan here, you have some very good treatment centers. You know, you can just go through the Yellow Pages or Narcotics Anonymous. There are residential treatment centers. Talk to your doctor. They should have resources available
mm-hmm.
that you can attend or go to. And just find a place that you feel comfortable that would you feel will help you.
Right. Okay. And so you feel that this book, your book, will direct them in that way, and they'll be able to get on their way to making that step towards getting help.
Yeah, I don't list specific, except for some of the self-help treatment centers. I don't list the residential programs, but they're really easy to locate. And like I said, your doctor, if you were really honest with your doctor, would be the first place to start. They're easy to locate.
Just admitting, confessing out of your mouth, I believe I'm addicted. I can see the signs. I'm seeing that I'm addicted to something, and that's not godly. So hopefully you're a Christian. If you're not, you don't need to give your life to the Lord, because there's hardly any way to get out of it without the Lord, I believe. And we know that God doesn't want us to be controlled by anything. You know, there's scripture, can't think of it off the top of my head, but I know, you know, the scripture about not being, everything is permissible and nothing will control me. And
mm-hmm.
I wish I could quote that one, but we're out of time. So, Larry, thanks for joining me. And we're talking about Larry Mall, his book, The Beaten Path. And you can find that at www.larrymaule.com. And it's LarryMaule. And you can hear this again on His Ability. If you go to hisability.com and re-listen to this program, you'll find that information there again. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to His Ability. You can email Lynn at life@hisability.com. That's life@hisability.com. Or visit hisability.com. If you're in the need of home health care, please call a Utility at 734-261-1220. That's 734-261-1220. Thanks for tuning in, and you can hear His Ability every Sunday at 2 p.m. right here on WMUZ 103.5, The Light.